Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Spillers After Show podcast. I am Brian Dunn.
And I'm Robert Hookman Jr.
And we're going to talk about, well, this is a very special episode. This is the episode that...
A very special episode.
On this very special episode...
Next on Family House. Full House.
Full House. Did you say Family House? You're combining
it.
Family Ties and Full House.
Yeah.
It's a common mistake.
Next on a very special episode of Spillers.
That's right. No, what we're going to be doing is previewing our next Spillers event. It is Spillers number 6, Robert, and it is scheduled for December 13th, Tuesday night.
Tuesday, December 13th at Crescent Ballroom in lovely downtown Phoenix. Crescent Ballroom is our absolute favorite place in the world. It's got just killer sound quality, killer lighting, and it affords us the powers to, every 3 months, take 5 writers and put them on stage and turn them basically into rock stars for an evening.
Total rock star treatment.
And people show up to see it.
They do, and people love it, and they're plugged into what they're hearing. You know, you can hear a pin drop, as we like to say, when Spillers are reading on the big stage at Crescent.
Yeah, we writers like to rely on cliches like dropping pins.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you've got your little bag of tricks and, you know, you just keep going back to that well.
Yeah, this is why there are so many books. There are so many ways to reuse cliches.
Yes, yes, there are. Thank God for those. So we just finished up what we do before every event. We finished up the writer's workshop.
We did indeed, and in this special occasion, on this special edition of Spillers,
it's very special.
One of our writers in our writer's workshop was our very own Brian Dunn.
Oh, that would be me, right. I did read something, because I'm going to be reading on Tuesday night, December 13th.
You will indeed. So we started Spillers as an excuse to read our own work.
Yes.
Know, because who wouldn't do that?
Right, it's what you do.
And then, so we read at our first event, we both read at the first event, and we haven't read since.
No,
so we thought,
no. You
know.
It's time.
It's been a year and a half. Let's see, has it been a year? It's been a year and a quarter.
It has.
A year and a quarter.
Yep.
So let's see how much we've evolved in that time.
Yeah.
So we're going to split ourselves up, turn the heat lamp, the spotlight around on one of us.
The heat light.
Brian's
going to
go in Spillers 6, and I'm going to go in Spillers 7.
That's right.
So Brian's story. Tell us about your story, Brian.
Yeah. So, okay, my story is, it's based on some personal experience. It's called Eel Sauce Blues. And it's a story I wrote about kind of a little-known fact in the jazz world that involves lead trumpet players bringing extra pairs of underwear to gigs. in case something bad should happen.
For those of you who don't know, Brian is a huge jazz fan.
I'm a big jazz fan. It's true.
It's part of the reason we were so quick to snatch up Catherine Hill's story for the previous Spillers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was just chock full of jazz.
Love it. Love it.
And so this is Brian's turn to take on a jazz subject.
It is. It is. A little different from Catherine's take, I would say, though.
Oh, very much.
Yeah. But
And yours is not so much based on historical fiction, but, well, I guess maybe your own historical fiction.
Maybe my own. Maybe I may have modeled some of the people after folks that I knew in the jazz band area.
So in sum, one of our Spillers will be our own Brian Dunn.
It will. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it.
So that'll be exciting to see, and it'll be a very different experience for Brian, because the first time, at the first event, we were on a little tiny stage.
A little rickety stage.
In the front lounge there at Crescent, and now you're going to be on the big stage with...
I know.
And granted, we do introductions all the time. We introduce the show, we introduce the writers.
Yeah, we're on the stage.
They let us on there. It's not a foreign place to you, but
no,
it'll be different standing up there and reading your own work, and it'll be really interesting for me to introduce you as a co-host.
Right, and then for me to do the same for Spillers number 7 for you. Yeah, so very excited to be reading that story. We also Skyped in 2 individuals from Flagstaff. They're one of those writerly couples where both people are writers, and they both have written some fantastic things and have long lists of publishing credits. And the first was Justin Bigos.
Justin Bigos is doing a story called...
let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that. So Justin Bigos is expecting to do a story called The Gas Man. Currently, that's what we're expecting as well. But The Gas Man is a little shorter than our typical Spillers story.
It is.
And so we're kind of digging around a little bit in his back catalog and seeing if there might be more, something a little longer, since they're driving down all the way from Flagstaff, which is about a 2.5-hour drive.
Yeah, we want to make it worth their while.
We want to make sure that he's getting all of the maximum time that he can get on stage.
Yeah, personally, I would feel cheated if I drove that far and only read
800 words.
800 words.
Right.
I would be like, what?
It's a long haul for 800 words.
Boy, it sure is. It sure is.
You know, get it up closer to 1,800 or 2,000 words, and suddenly, you know, all that extra gas is...
Oh, it's well worth it.
It's totally worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, and strangely, another of our featured writers is... Justin's wife.
Yes, Justin's wife, Erin Stalkup.
Who is not only a writer unto herself, she is a fantastic writer.
She totally is. Blew us away with her story.
Yeah, and her story is from a... it's not a novel. It is. It is a novel.
It is a novel.
Is it a novel?
Yeah.
I'm not sure we got the full context of where the story came from, but it's an excerpt from something.
It is.
And it's a piece, it's historical fiction, and it's the idea that, it's based around, Einstein and his, alleged or supposed or imagined, relationship with his daughter, his little-known daughter.
An early daughter.
And it basically is a series of letters that they write back and forth to each other.
Yeah.
And this very much also reminds me of Catherine Hill.
Right, it does, doesn't it?
From Spillage 5, who did the kind of the same idea, a couple letter back and forth between Jelly Roll Morton and his...
Bessie Smith.
His first wife,
yeah,
Betsy Smith.
Yeah.
So, and we have just been over this story and gone through it in the workshop, and it was really difficult to find things to nitpick in this story, like compositionally and structurally, and like it's really fantastic, and it's just a great imagining, and it's full of factual information, but also just this great imagining of what their relationship might be like.
Yeah, yeah. And the pictures that she kind of paints with her words are really... Yeah. Really amazing.
There's a lot of really good, like, I don't know, father, daughter, really sharp and crisp emotive lines in it.
Oh, yeah.
And she makes some really, you won't be able to hear this on the recording, but she makes some really great punctuation choices.
Yeah. You know, I was going to mention that, but then I thought, no, yeah, they're not really going to hear it so much. But if they buy the chapbook, they will get to see what she does with punctuation.
That is true. It will be in the chapbook, and you'll be able to see the placement or absence of commas. Ooh. And things like that. There were a few lines in there. I'm a big fan of very minimalist punctuation.
You are. And I know you are. So that's resonates with you.
When I see a sentence that sounds like a character struggling to the extent that punctuation actually would impede the message, like it grabs me.
Yeah.
Catches my interest.
Yeah.
But yeah, just it's a fantastic story, and we just could not be more happy to have Erin and Justin and Brian on our stage.
That's right. So that's only three people so far, Robert. Is that right? Yeah, that's only three people.
Is that only three?
It is only three, but we have more, right?
Jenny Irish.
That's right.
We do have more.
Yeah.
So Jenny Irish was... How did we find Jenny? Was this another Jake recommendation?
Was it? I thought she came to us TM Mike McNally.
Mike McNally.
Who appeared at Spillers number 5.
Yes, Mike McNally said Jenny Irish was hands down the best student he'd ever had.
Is that what he said? Wow.
He did.
Oh, my gosh.
He did indeed say that.
Okay, well, that's all we need to know.
Yeah, that's pretty much, that was as strong a selling point as you could possibly have. And so we got in touch with Jenny Irish, and we loved her work, and we still love her work.
We do.
And Jenny Irish will be reading at the event as well. We're still ironing out exactly which story it is. But we have all the faith in the world in Jenny's work, and we're thrilled to have her.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be great.
Now let's talk about Spiller number 5.
Okay. That brings us... Yeah.
What do you want to say about Spiller number 5?
Oh, boy. What can we say? Well, I guess I would say sometimes it's hard to wrangle enough writers, you know?
I don't want to say that it's hard to wrangle enough writers.
It's hard to wrangle
the quality
of writer
that we're after.
That we want. Yeah. Let's be honest. We have kind of a high bar has been set by the previous Spillers and the incredible readings that they've put on.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
And each event has just seemed to raise that bar.
It really has.
Like our first couple of events, I mean, you know, like Brian and I being writers, we have pretty high bars in the first place. And I can honestly say that has only been increased dramatically over the past several events. You know, having people like Matt Bell and Catherine Hill and
Patrick Michael
Finn and Yeah, just we've had such incredible writers on our stage that there's just no screwing around here.
No. I mean, no. There's no room for substandard writing.
It's getting easier to say no to stories and harder to say yes to them.
Yeah, that's true, which makes things kind of interesting when you're looking down the barrel of a deadline.
And it's true. So suffice to say, I've literally never used that phrase in my life. Suffice to say.
This is part of Robert's new fireside chat persona that he's putting on for this episode, because there's a fire that's crackling just across the room from us.
Just on the other end of this awkwardly shaped bowling ball chandelier type ballroom that we're in.
Bowling ball shaped? What?
Bowling alley.
Bowling shaped. Alley shaped. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that's true. They might set it up for bowling later. You never know.
Yeah.
Changing hands always has something cool going on.
I'll be playing FDR in this episode. It's a very special episode of Spillers.
Oh, stop with that.
So yeah, we're trying to sort out exactly who is going to be our fifth Spiller.
Our fifth. But we do have some candidates for sure. We're in discussions, as they say.
We're in discussions.
We are.
Part of the problem was that we actually had somebody else lined up and ended up having to move the date.
Oh, yeah. Can we talk about moving the date?
Could you just talk for a moment, Brian, about how the date ended up moving?
I would love to. So originally we wanted a date that was in November. And it was a Monday evening, and we were really excited about it. And what happened was a clown came to town. And this clown actually caused Crescent Ballroom to bump us to book him. His name is Puddles, and his act is called Puddles Pity Party. And this clown, in his defense, and in Crescent Ballroom's defense, he's a magnificent vocalist.
Well, to his credit.
To his credit.
Not even to his defense.
No,
he wasn't trying to defend himself.
He was not trying to bump us.
He is proactively being a clown.
There's no vendetta. But it's funny because we talked about the tip. First of all, okay, he's a 7-foot-tall clown. Comes out in full clown regalia, the white makeup, everything. He's got a very fun and funny interactive show with people, and he's got the voice of an angel. This guy, I would have liked to have seen the act myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a good thing to do since we were free that night.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been, huh?
So Puddles, turns out, pulls down ticket prices of somewhere between $25 and $45.
Yeah. Which is great.
And we can't, we haven't quite gotten there with Spillers.
No, we can't compete with that just yet. He also has two sold out shows coming up in Los Angeles at one of those iconic clubs. I remember I looked at his itinerary.
Really?
Yeah.
Like and he the had Roxy? Like,
maybe it was the Roxy. I can't remember offhand, but it was like, he had three dates and two of them were sold out. And I thought, this clown is just making a mint.
So this clown has got some pull.
He does. So Puddles, if you hear this, if you hear this podcast episode, call us. Maybe we could do an opening act for you.
Yeah.
Let's join forces.
Let's see if Puddles can help our audience.
Maybe so.
There's a sentence I never thought I'd utter.
No, that's one for the books. So we got bumped, which is fine, because now it's going to be on Thursday. It's going to be Tuesday, December 13th, and we're excited about that, and everything's coalescing, and, it's going to be a really, really fun evening.
Yeah. So Spiller number 5 will be a surprise.
Yes, the fifth Spiller is going to be surprised. We can't tell you who it is now, but suffice it to say. Did I just say suffice it to say? I don't know.
We've talked at great length about suffice to say.
Is it suffice to say or is it suffice it to say? I always learned it the second way. Suffice it to say, Timmy was trapped in a well.
I'm not going to Google that while we're recording the podcast.
No, let's not do that.
But I will promptly afterwards.
All right, excellent. So do we have anything more to say? I think the one thing that we should mention is that this very podcast that you all are listening to is now officially an award-winning podcast, Robert.
We haven't been sent a physical award yet.
Well, I wonder how that works, because
I really want one of those little plaques.
I want one of those plaques, too. If you don't know what Robert's talking about, Phoenix New Times came out with their Best of Phoenix issue, and Best Podcast for 2016 was your very own Spillers After Show podcast that you're listening to right now.
And we're not actually even sure that Best Podcast is a regular thing for them.
I don't know if it is either.
They do this thing every year with their Best of Phoenix Phoenix issue where they kind of invent a bunch of stuff. Like,
it's fluid.
Best place to stand on a corner eating a taco, and, and they'll come up, you know, they'll choose a corner for that. so they come up with a bunch of sort of random categories. But in this case, so I don't know if it, best podcast is a regular standing thing or not.
I think it will be now.
But this year they were. let's make it so.
Let's get a lock on that thing.
So this year they were kind enough to name the Spillers After Show podcast as the best podcast in Phoenix for 2016, which just thrills us to no end. And this is why I want the plaque.
I want
the plaque. Anytime you go into a restaurant around here that was named Best of Phoenix, there's like a little red thing on the wall that says Best of Phoenix, you know, what year it was, Phoenix New Times, all that. We want this plaque.
Yeah.
Mostly because I want to tape it to the microphone stand.
I love that. Yeah.
If we could just hold it up in all of the photographs on the website.
I'm not above that.
I'm not at all.
Not one bit.
But I also wonder if it will be the death of us, because now we're not hipster, cool, literary event. Now we've won an award.
Yeah. So you think we're going to rest on our laurels? Is that what we're going to do now?
Either
that
or
fat and happy.
Our audience is all going to go somewhere else to the lesser known fiction event.
Well, I hope it's not like the Best New Artist Grammy Award.
Exactly.
That has a long history
of
sinking. Yeah, of sinking musical acts.
It does.
We're not going to let it, Robert. We're gonna keep producing quality episodes just like this one.
We will charge on.
Yes, we will.
A very special episode of.
There it is again. There it is again.
Fireside chats.
And so that's the Spillers 6 preview. We've got great stuff. If you guys have attended in the past, you know what we're talking about. It's always a great crowd. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you who has come out to a Spillers event. Crescent Ballroom is wonderful. We still love working with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have another chat book on hand. We will have...
Will we have a drink?
We'll have another Spillers custom cocktail.
Cocktail, nice.
For the occasion, we do this at every event now. Mm-hmm. And have for the past several, and they've always been like knock out of the park good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I just bastardized that cliche. Since we're screwing with cliches.
It's cliche day.
knock it out of the park.
Knock it out of the park.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a rather lengthy hyphenate. But yeah, so we'll have another chapbook, another five fantastic writers.
Yep.
And another custom cocktail, and another great night, and hopefully another killer audience of 150 people or so, at the Crescent Ballroom for short fiction.
Short fiction in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. We love it.
It never ceases to surprise me that so many people show up for a short fiction event, but it happens.
It's great. Yeah.
And we do our best to make it happen that way. We want to turn our writers into rock stars for a night, and that's how we do it.
Absolutely. So we're going to be doing that for Spillers number 6 on December 13th. It's a Tuesday night. We look forward to seeing all of you listeners out there, and we're going to put on a really great show. All right. And that's going to do it for this very special episode of the Spillers After Show podcast. We will talk to you guys later.
Take care.
See ya.